If you have a Bible, please turn to a few passages to this morning in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Philemon verse 2. They're right together there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Philemon verse 2. We'll look at two other passages. And then we'll say some things that are on my heart. You know, I don't know how it all works, but I do know that words work. I do know that God Almighty made it to where words influence and affect our lives through and through. I want to bring a message that has to do with the very core of much of Christian work. From the time of the Apostle Paul all the way through to the day that we live in and onto the rapture. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Look at one verse, please, in the book of Philemon, a few pages to the right in your New Testament. 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, look at verse 2. Paul's addressing people. He says, "To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier." Archippus, our fellow soldier. Come to the book of Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. He tells Timothy here that he should endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that his life is to be a warfare, and that this warfare is for the purpose of pleasing him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I would present to you that he uses these terms throughout. Speaks of fighting a good fight and that kind of thing. And then he says in Philemon 2, Archippus, he said, is our fellow soldier. He says also in Philippians 2, verse 25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." My fellow soldier. Notice here he calls him also, along with Archippus, a fellow soldier. Now, in your Bible, you have different kinds of things. Fellow labor, he talks about. Companion labor, but here he calls him a fellow soldier. And when we think of men who and women who fought, who serve in some way and capacity in the military, and although I did not plan it this way, it has all come together, and it seems appropriate that on this Memorial Day weekend, excuse me, we would think about this subject. Because I want to address a message for fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ and their families. Perhaps it's not a memorial-only message, because I would like to speak to those of you who are still alive and are serving God. Look at Colossians, if you would, one book over to the right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Let's start in verse 22. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." And please mark this, "for ye serve the Lord Christ." The idea that those who do their duty in a military fashion, it's called service, military service, is not an accident. It is not without precedent, for it's founded in the words of God, and it's founded in the way in which God set things up. In the Old Testament, the Levites were said to do a service. Some of them did a service in the tabernacle. Some of them did a service of moving the tabernacle. Some of them did a service later in the temple, but they were serving. But in the New Testament, we all are made priests and kings unto our God, and we believe in the priesthood of the believer. So every priest is called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, he's called the captain of our salvation. And so my message is a message for fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ and their families. Now, the broader target would be every believer. every single believer, because I pray that anyone who would hear these thoughts would be stricken straight through to their heart about the need, the absolute burden to be one who serves the Lord Jesus Christ as a fellow soldier. But in particular, these comments would be for those who serve Jesus Christ. We would say in the modern context of what we hear and see and read in the news and stuff, we would be talking about patriots to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ and their families are part of the service of all services. And we're not speaking of somebody necessarily with a title like pastor or evangelist. We're not speaking of someone who has a direct income necessarily from the work of God. In fact, we're speaking of all those who would serve in any capacity in the army and the forces of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to think in those terms of context. There are some lately who have been noted for their service, their military service, and for things they've suffered, and we're thankful for that. And we would never in any way diminish it. We would only say that service for the Lord Jesus Christ as a soldier, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, is the highest of all. We would say that any parallels we draw must be drawn in light of and filtered through Scripture as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so I want to speak about our service to Jesus Christ. I'd like to say some things about it. Some will encourage you. Some perhaps may convict you. But all are true and right about being a soldier of Jesus Christ and a part of one's family who is a soldier of Jesus Christ. First of all, I'd like to say this, that service to Jesus Christ is morally demanded. Morally demanded. You know, this word moral is a very widely used word today. I think that we all know that it's important that we have a sense of morality. Maybe we as a Christian sometimes wonder how that relates to us as Bible-believing Christians and holiness and sanctification. But by dictionary definition, moral is relating to the practice, the manners, the conduct of men's social beings in relation to each other, with reference to right and wrong, good or evil, virtuous or vicious, all with reference to the law of God. Morality is the doctrine or practice of the duties of life. Something that's morally done is virtuously and honestly done. You say, why do some serve their country? Because they know in their heart it is morally demanded. There is a sense in which anything that provides you with protection, with prosperity, with opportunity, then we are morally demanded to be loyal to it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the worthy one. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen, it is immoral. Believe what you want, but it is immoral to receive salvation by the blood of the innocent one and then defer to do service unto him. It is immoral. If you want to think about what morality is in the day that we live in, and you want to be part of some so-called moral majority and listen to all this rubbish from the so-called conservative right wing of whatever part of the world you live in, it is good to have an emotional appeal for things and sentiment, but there's more to life than that. There's moral duty. There is nothing more morally binding than service to Jesus Christ if you are one who has received Him as your Savior, has let His blood pay for your sins, has let Him provide you a security in heaven, then the most immoral Christian is the one who does not serve Jesus Christ with their life. With their daily life, I'm speaking of. With their time, with their money, with their talents, with their tongue. Amen. Listen, a self-serving, self-centered Christian is an immoral Christian because service to Jesus Christ is morally demanded. You know, a believer who counts on heaven and yet lives for self is immoral. You see, what's happened is the world is such a mess, and Christianity is in such a mess, and churches and preaching is in such a mess, as to take and soften everything and make everybody out there wrong and say, well, you know, that's a good person. Listen, if a man, a woman, a boy or girl is saved, and they will not serve Jesus Christ with their all, then they are living an immoral life. Let me tell you something. Wherever you are stopping short, let's say you're in the service of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about some title here. We're not talking about where you get your income from. I'm talking about you're in the service of Jesus Christ. Wherever you're stopping short is where you are lacking in true morality. You see, too many people make God's way seem evil or hard, ready, or too demanding. They have softened the Word of God. They have softened moral responsibility. Service to the Lord Jesus Christ is morally demanded. Listen, it is important. Women, girls, who will you live unto? The Bible expressly tells you not to live unto your furnishings and yourself, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your status, or your vehicle, or your husband's success. It doesn't tell you to do that. In fact, it tells you not. Have you ever thought that the world, makes grandparenting a marketable thing? And then we wonder that there's no snare in it? Well, there is a snare in it. It's a great thing to be a grandparent. It's a wonderful thing to be thankful for children's children. But do you know that it is the world that has marketed and promoted that grandparenting is spoiling children? Grandparents should be the soldiers of Jesus Christ, instilling holiness and holy patriotism to Jesus Christ. Grandparents are the ones that should make serving the Lord Jesus Christ with everything you have, your body, your soul, your spirit, your whole being, should make that the highest thing that would please them. And yet we find today that that is not happening in a typical, even an above average Christian home. We're not to be spoiling and ruining them. We're to be teaching them that it is morally demanded. It is immoral to receive such a wonderful thing as salvation at the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Father hath made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It is immoral. Now see, that strikes an arrow through every single person's heart. And you know it, and I know it. Any part of my life where I am not yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ and available to Him and actively serving Him in my daily life, not some ministry only, not some little thing at church. I'm talking about at every single part of us. Any place I'm not being moral. Because moral foundation starts with serving Jesus Christ. It is morally demanded. Now, if you're serving Him, He says we're just doing our duty. If you're serving Him, why don't you go ahead and get it in your head that you're doing the moral thing and quit thinking that that you're doing more than other people, or that you're even sacrificing brother or sister. You're just doing the moral thing. I'm just doing the moral thing to live for Jesus Christ and to serve Him because it is morally demanded. Secondly, service to Jesus Christ is socially divisive. The Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the Old Testament history as being just more of the same for the church age. You say, how so? Because He said that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He said that they would divide the husband from his wife and the parents from the children and the children from the parents. Listen, ever since the very first family feud called Cain killing Abel, the great divider is, whom will ye serve? Do you understand that Abel got it in the neck just because he was willing to serve God, to honor God? You said, no, he was trying to get his way to heaven. He couldn't. He had to offer a lamb, something else besides himself. Cain killed Abel because Abel believed in the grace of God covering his sins through the blood of a lamb. That's what it was about. Did he know who the Lord Jesus Christ was? No, of course not. Did he have to cut the lamb's throat? Yes, he did. In the same way that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Cain killed Abel. It's socially divisive. Now, a soldier of Jesus Christ. The hymn says, a soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. A soldier in the army of a king of the King of Kings am I. I'm a soldier in the army. And the call to battle loudly rings. I am a soldier in the army. in the army of the King of Kings. You see how important it is to get this thing right? It's absolutely important. Because if we don't, our whole philosophy, our whole culture, our whole life is wrong. You see, if I'm not a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I am not serving the Lord Jesus Christ available for life, death, and breath, then I am being immoral. It is morally demanded. And it is socially divisive. A soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. He called me to His colors, and for Him I'll live or die. I'll go wherever He bids me, and I'll do His least command. Beneath the banner of the cross, I'll gladly take my stand. I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings. The battle fierce is raging over land and over sea, wherever men have borne the news of Christ and Calvary. The fight for souls must not be lost. I cannot falter, no. But in the strength of Christ my Lord, I'll only forward go. Someday the battle will be o'er. Victory will come. I'll wonder if I'll share the full reward awaiting some. Will I have battle scars to show in heaven when we meet? How many crowns and trophies will I cast at Jesus' feet? I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings. It is socially divisive. Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Joshua and the slackers, God versus Baal, denominational leaders. Listen, anyone with a brand, you know what a denomination is? The number on the dollar bills in your wallet are denominations. There's something that marks, that brands. Denominational leaders, anyone with a brand, they stand versus those who dare to stand. Children and parents, running in both directions, it will be divisive at times. Listen, that carnal, worldly mindset is that we will have peace without war. Impossible. It is impossible. They're setting it up for the Antichrist, who will promise them peace without war. Listen, your service will set you apart without that being your motive. It may not at all, and it shouldn't be your motive to be set apart because you're serving, but your service will set you apart just like a man and a woman who served in the military in times where it's unpopular. In times when when there's no gratitude for it. When people don't like what's happening. When people think there's something wrong with someone who would be so faithful and loyal and moral as to serve their country. Well, how much more the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, extremely devoted warriors are viewed differently even within their own war community. If you decide to be an all-out, out and out, the old timers used to say, are you O and O for Christ? Are you out and out for Christ? Are you all the way given to Christ? If you do, you'll be considered one of those extremists. Ladies, please listen to me. You must crucify your social ambitions. You must get a backbone for Christ and your soldier. Your sons, your daughters, you sons and daughters need to do the same. You need to say, I'm proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am pleased. It is my absolute moral duty to follow in the footsteps of this warrior family. Men, you have to crucify all this opinion acceptance. Listen, you must crucify what you don't want to have happen in your life. You know, there's a lot of people who are not out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ because they have, either in the forefront or sometimes in the back of their mind, what they don't want to have happen. Well, I don't want someone to doubt my motive. Well, then you might as well drop dead now and have them bury you because someone's going to doubt your motive. Well, I don't want people to say this and this and this. Well, then you're going to have to either go cut their tongues out or just do nothing for God. And neither one of those is an acceptable option. You cannot go through life doing what you do or don't do depending on what you don't want to have happen. It will keep you from doing what a good soldier of Jesus Christ does. And there will be no excuses at the judgment seat of Christ. I could go on and on. I'm not trying to belabor the subject. I am trying to remind you, if you're already in the service of Jesus Christ, that is, listen, it doesn't matter what position you sit in an auditorium in a church service, What matters is if in your heart, in your mind, in your daily life, you're in the service of Jesus Christ. You have put on the uniform. You have enlisted. You are prepared. You are fighting the battle. You are a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if you're part of a family of a man who's a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you ought to be right there supporting the whole thing. There'll be no excuses, even though it is socially divisive. If you put society, even the smallest of societies around you, ahead of your service for Jesus Christ, you are being immoral because it's morally demanded and it's socially divisive. And service to our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, is mentally consuming. Now, I've addressed this to soldiers, good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and their families. Why? Because the family needs to get in line. The wife, the children need to get in line and be a part of this patriotic to the Lord Jesus Christ community. Men, put your heart and your mind into the book, because service to Jesus Christ is mentally consuming. I could belabor you with many, many illustrations of how important it is for a man not to be distracted if he's in true combat, of how mentally consuming it is to be a warrior in the physical realm, to be a warrior, to be part of some sort of military service that requires great concentration and learning. And I want to say that in order to serve Jesus Christ, you have got to have it. Service to Jesus Christ must become mentally consuming, where you put your heart and your mind into the book. You put your mind to living unto Christ. You say, well, can't I ever have a hobby? Sure. But a hobby is just supposed to be a brief distraction. It's not supposed to be a way of life or something you live for when you retire. Listen, try getting yourself mentally consumed with this book. Get yourself mentally consumed with how to learn to witness to people and talk to them. Mentally consumed with prayer. Mentally consumed. Listen, you must... They interviewed a young soldier that came back from the Middle East. And he'd done two tours there. And he'd come back, and this silly little sort of left-wing sort of person was interviewing him and walked up there all giddy and said to this Marine, said, you must have pictured this day and thought of this day 100 times while you were over there. And the Marine looked at her as only Marine could, and said, no, ma'am. My leader told me that if I wanted to come back alive, I better not be thinking about anything else but what I was doing while I was there. I better live in the moment. You get this? Mentally consuming. Ladies, please listen. Expect, encourage, enable your man to be mentally consumed with Jesus Christ. To be mentally consumed with fighting the good fight. To be mentally consumed with being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Allow him to learn enough in the physical realm of being a soldier to make the application. Allow him the liberty to be mentally consumed with it. To have his heart and mind. We're not talking about not being a good husband. We're not talking about not being a good dad and all that sort of thing. But ladies, expect, encourage, enable your man to be mentally consumed. Ladies, teach your daughters and your granddaughters to be attracted to good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Teach your sons that the most noble thing on earth is a man who served Jesus Christ day and night in whatever capacity he lives. You men, you better use a calendar. Write the dates on there. You know, like anniversary and birthday and whatever. But show others how to be mentally consumed on a daily basis. Ladies, if because of a man being mentally consumed with providing for his home and mentally consumed with living for Jesus Christ and giving to missions or in the ministry, that sort of thing, listen, why don't you just be a little soft-hearted and help him remember it indirectly? Allow your heart to be burdened to the point of lengthy prayer, men and women, boys and girls. Allow your mind to be consumed with the needs of others in prayer. Allow your mind to be consumed with the others of need, the needs of others when it comes to their ministry and their service for Christ. Approach your role with a consumed life and death seriousness. A soldier who fights, if he's halfway sane, puts everything he has into getting ready and into fighting. He's mentally consumed by it. Oh, dear God, could we get back to the day, and we've seen it in the day of the people of God, when God's people were consumed, mentally consumed with God. They were mentally consumed with verses. They were mentally consumed with witness, and they were mentally consumed with prayer. They were mentally consumed with the law of God, the truths of God, the things that kept them living for the judgment seat, and not sports things and finance things and fashion things and blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on and on. Do you understand that the only thing that lasts is service for Jesus Christ? My dear mother gone to glory. We had only been saved a little bit of time. She got saved a bit later in life. I got saved out just out of high school after growing up and we all racing horses. She gave me a little plaque one day. Only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm just a baby Christian, but it's never left my mind. I'm telling you, service to Jesus Christ is mentally consuming. You read of soldiers and you'll find that their entire mind and heart must be attuned to learning their weapons, to learning their tactics, to learning their instructions for each mission, to learning the enemy, and they cannot afford to be distracted. Ladies, why not make it to where your man could be mentally consumed with Jesus Christ because of the manner in which you conducted yourself in your home, the grace with which you conducted yourself, the loyalty with which you conduct, the self-sacrifice with which you conducted yourself. Fourthly and quickly, service to Jesus Christ is physically sacrificial. Service to the Lord Jesus Christ is physically sacrificial. We know that people who serve in the military, who serve in a warrior capacity, in a military martial capacity, we know that they give their body before they ever go. Some come back, some the note is cashed. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the picture? The picture is that when someone offers their service in a military, martial manner, they are signing on the dotted line and saying, my body does not belong to me. Should it require, even unto death, I'm in. Are you in? Listen, even your physical exercise, let's say you exercise to stay fit, it should be for one reason. It shouldn't be for yourself. It shouldn't be so you feel good and look good at yourself in the mirror. It should be that you'll be fit for the work. And so that would keep you from being extreme in it, and it would keep you from being slack in it. Listen, many lose their life. Many lose limbs. Many lose their liberty in earthly combat. Why would it be any different in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? While there are many who have lost much in the service of Jesus Christ physically. Some of them lose it through things like malaria and dysentery and plagues. Some of it lose it through cancer. Some of it lose it through their body being consumed. Some of it lose it through actual accidents and death. And God may put you through a physical sacrifice to give you understanding. He may do it to give you empathy. He may do it to give you something inside of you that says, I will not quit. I may have to limp to glory. I may have to crawl to glory. But I will not. I will not. I will not betray my captain. I will not duck out on the moral demand of service to Jesus Christ. I will not stop because it's socially divisive and it has made a division. I will not allow myself to hold back. I will be mentally consumed. And even if it's physically sacrificial, I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a very soft age. Listen. Military training for combat must risk physical sacrifice during training. Physical sacrifice is risked in order to train for combat. There is no substitute for combat. There is nothing quite like it. And they do all they can to prepare you for it. And in order to prepare you for it, they have to risk your life physically to prepare. That's why there are training accidents that cost people their life. And many times, it might be something that maybe somebody got slack, but even that is a lesson to us that you cannot ever get slack. That in practice, you've got to do what you're going to do later because you get one shot at it most of the time. And you get one shot at life. And so when God's training you for the work of God, when God's training you as a soldier of Jesus Christ and as a family member of that soldier of Jesus Christ, He has to put you through some training that is going to be risky to you physically. He may give you an accident. He may give you a disease. He may give you some suffering. And He's doing it for His honor, for His glory, for His purpose. He's not doing it to make you a better person. He's not doing it so you'll come out the side a better person. He might do it so you'll have greater faith. He might do it so you'll have more humility. But it's all for His glory. It's all for the one who hath chosen us to be soldiers, that we may please Him. But sacrifice to Jesus Christ is physically sacrificial. You know, sometimes you have to sacrifice physically to try to have a measure of health and fitness so you can serve Christ better. You know, people are extremists, most of them, by nature, all of us. So you've got somebody who gets on a fitness kick and that's all they do. Well, that's not balanced. Then you've got some who laugh it away. That's not balanced. I'm just going to tell you. How about this? What if God called you to a part of the world that is physically dangerous? With disease? With uprising and, you know, bad guys? With travel? How about that? You know, if you do not understand that it is morally demanded to be a soldier of Jesus Christ and as a family of that soldier to be a part of this, then you'll duck out when it comes to the physical sacrifice. I'd like to remind you that service to Jesus Christ is emotionally wounding. So expect it. There is hardly anything that affects a person like combat. Combat veterans are never quite the same. And though it may not appear all the time, and as we, things like the Wounded Warrior and Lone Survivor and those groups that are trying to help these men and women that come back from combat, they're trying to do all they can to help them because there's a whole lot of wounds that are within. And I would say to you, it is very much so with the Gospel Warrior. Now, I know this, that if you would get yourself forewarned, and so by being that, be forearmed, most Christian workers and people, and I'm talking about anybody, no matter where you serve in what capacity, that you would get along a lot better if you don't have to be mean and hard, you just got to quit being so self-centered, to where every single thing hurts your feelings. The reason that they take, as one old-timer said, the way to make a good soldier is to persecute him. And that's the truth. To where almost nothing seems bad anymore. It just seems like same old, same old. Because the Gospel Warrior, you think of Nehemiah. What did they use to wound Nehemiah? Words. What does Proverbs tell you? It goes down to the innermost part of the belly. Words. Do you understand that very few of you right now within the sound of my voice are ever going to have to face a sword being put up to your neck or a pistol put up to your head or a firing squad or a rope with weights around, a rope around your neck and weights around your feet? Very few of you are going to face that. But every one of you are going to face the wounds of betrayal. The words that wound, the betrayal that bruises. And you're going to need the blood and the book and the blessedness of a soft memory that can exercise the blood of Jesus Christ in order for you to continue through the emotional wounding. Of course you'll get wounded. Expect it. Heal up. Get back in. You're limp and all. And go forward. Listen, in Charles Spurgeon's life, there was many a time when after he preached, he'd have to go home And his wife would let him stretch out on the little couch and lay his head in her lap, and she would read to him and pray over him while he cried himself half crazy, suffering from different kind of depressions and stuff. When he was preaching the great meeting and someone pulled a prank, you might say, or ruined the meeting by giving a false fire alarm and people were trampled and killed, he never was the same after that. Every now and then he himself would have fits where he would worry about things. One of his deacons one time, he called him to summoned him to his house, sent a messenger there, and he came, and he was just all worried about everything. And he said, "Well, Brother Spurgeon, do you want me to just go and get all my everything we have, just sign it over?" And it was just his way of getting his attention. And he said, no, I get it. I understand. The only way to escape wounds is not to serve. But what wound will it be when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And he says, where were you? Why didn't you sign up? Why weren't you present and accounted for? Say, well, what am I going to do with these emotional woundings? Put it under the blood. And I want to say this, I'll throw this in, that some people do crack under pressure. But don't use that as an excuse, and don't be down on them. Don't berate them. Don't belittle them. Some people have a different constitution than you and I might have. But I can attest with Job that there's times when you don't know what end is up. There's times when you might truly wish you had never been born. And if you think you could have come through it better than Job, you've got an overinflated ego the size of the moon. God was pleased with Job. He had a few things to learn, but none of us could have come through the way he did. And I praise the Lord for his account and his testimony. I praise the Lord for God recording his words of pain, because it shows us that service to Jesus Christ is emotionally wounding. And then I'm going to say this, service to Jesus Christ is financially restrictive. He says, no man, ready? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I'm going to put it in a modern context. A fellow's not going to get through very many firefights, and a fellow's not going to be worth much if he's got his satellite device tuned to Wall Street while they're about ready to go clear a house there in the Middle East, or while they're trying to deal with the sniper issue, or while they're trying to deal with IEDs, or while they're trying to get through it alive. It says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Now, you apply it as you wish, but it is in there. I didn't tell you that nobody can own a house, nobody can do this, but I'm going to tell you what, if it entangles you, if it tangles you up, too many are entangled and therefore are tied up. Some of them, their hands and their tongue are tied. Some of them, their wallet is tied. Some of them, they are geographically tied. Is it such that God could not call you somewhere to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ? He couldn't cut you orders? Well, listen, recently I read a thing where one of the guys' nickname in the SEAL team was Fizbo. And they nicknamed him Fizbo because when him and his little wife decided to get him a home, as soon as they bought it, he got transferred. He didn't quit the SEALs because that happened. He didn't quit his duty. He didn't back up on the morally demanded service. Instead, he just had to put it up as for sale by owner and eat it. And so his nickname became, ironically, Fizbo, for sale by owner. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that war is costly. And war might be big business for some concerned and certain parties, but it ain't for the soldier. Soldiering is not a business, it's costly. Let me tell you, missions today suffers because pastors want the missionary to bear all the responsibility. They want the missionary to become an independent warring entity. And they'll fire off a little bit here, a little bit there, but at no point will they take on the responsibility of this warfare. And yet your Bible says that no man goeth a warfare at his own charges. No man is supposed to pay for his own beans, bullets, and band-aids. No man is supposed to do that. You say, well, I'd serve God, but I'd help the work of God, I'd help missions, but my goal is to get out of debt. Well, fine, that's great. But you know what I've noticed about people? People, once they do close up the war chest and then get out of debt, it stays closed. Yeah. You say, well, I'm going to do the beans and rice till I get out of debt. That's great. That's wonderful advice. It is. Let me ask you this. What would be wrong with doing the beans and rice after you are out of debt so you could give to missions to get the gospel around the world? Now, I didn't tell you go absolutely hog crazy here, okay? But I did. I can imagine what some people's response is. Ladies, are you at war with the world or your husband? Are you at war, ladies, with the world or with your pastor? Are you at war, ladies, with the world or with God's call upon the life of a good soldier who happens to be your husband? You know, it don't matter if he was called to be a soldier when you met him and married him. It don't matter in God's eyes. There's no clauses in there that says, now, if you don't like this thing that I'm doing, lady, you can just kind of change it all. You know, I know men, sadly enough, that would be doing a certain thing today, except they were told, if you do that, I will leave you. And they felt that to go ahead and try to do it would just not be possible. Pastor, does your church really need all that stuff? Listen, every church needs some stuff. Every church, okay? So don't go crazy. But pastor, does your church need all that stuff? You see, we live in a culture that does not want to talk about being financially restrictive. Oh, financial responsibility and government balance the budget and get out of debt and blah, blah, blah. But whatever happened to the widow's mite? She threw in what? Yeah, look it up, all she had. Who are we to shun our service to Jesus Christ? If men and women have done what they've done in the name of the military, in the name of fighting under a patriot flag, and we thank God for it, what about us who have been saved, born again, we're bought, we're secure, we're going on to heaven one day, but we're going to defer to serve Him with our all? To write our name on the line that says, do or die, I'm His. I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings. Are you? Father, please take these thoughts. Don't know that I could ever preach them, Lord, the way I feel them. But I pray you do something with them, and I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.